There was a term that originated in 1970, and it was this, servant leadership. My friends, that term was practiced by an individual 2,000 years before that term originated in secular society. And the individual who practiced servant leadership was none other than our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. He says in Mark 10, verse 45, "For the Son of Man has come, not to be ministered unto," now listen to this, "but to minister, and to give his life a ransom for many." Notice that Jesus said, "I didn't come to be served, but I came in order to serve." You see, that's that concept of servant leadership. In Philippians chapter 2, verse 5, Paul exhorts the church of Philippi to possess the mind of Christ, and then he tells them exactly what he's talking about in the next two or three verses. Notice what he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of man." Notice that Jesus, when he came to this earth, gave up his place in heaven in order to come and be a servant among men. He was a man who was a servant leader. I find it interesting that during the course of his ministry, he taught that very concept to his followers, didn't he? In Matthew 20, 26 and 27, he contrasts the way his followers are to be with the way the Gentiles operated in their world. He says this, "But it shall not be so among you," that is, being lords over other individuals. He then goes on to say this, "But whosoever will be great among you, let him be your servant. And whosoever will be chief among you, let him be your minister." Folks, Jesus is exhorting us to practice servant leadership in our world. The title of our lesson very simply is this, "The man Jesus Christ was a servant leader." What we want to do is we want you to walk away this morning understanding what is involved in this concept of being a servant leader. And every one of us, regardless of where we are, whether we're at school, whether we're at work, whether we're at home, whether it's in the church, we need to do all that we can to manifest that idea of servant leadership. But what does it mean? My friends, the core element, and this is the first point, the core element of servant leadership is, notice this, a desire to serve. Underline, highlight, circle that little word, desire. You see, there are many individuals in our world who want to be leaders, but they want to be leaders for wrong reasons. They want to be leaders for position. They want to be leaders for power. They want to be leaders for prestige. That is not what servant leadership is all about. Folks, a servant leader desires to serve. Note this, and this is important. This individual who becomes a servant leader was a servant long before he was ever a leader. You see, that's what we're talking about. What are we looking for? Well, we're looking for leaders. Yes, we need leaders in the body of Christ. But who do we want? Well, I want to find a man who is serving first. I want to find a woman who is willing to serve first, who has a desire to serve. And when you find that person, they can then become the leader that we need. For you see, folks, in the Lord's church, the reality is this, leadership does nothing more than provide a man or a woman with more opportunities to serve. That's what it's all about in the body of Christ. I find it interesting that Timothy at some point would take the place of the Apostle Paul, would he not? He was under the tutorship, he was under the mentorship of the Apostle Paul. But what kind of a man was Timothy? Well, Paul tells us in Philippians 2, beginning in verse 20. He says this, "For I have no man like-minded who will naturally care for your state. For others seek their own, not the things of Jesus Christ. But ye know the proof of him," that is Timothy, "ye know the proof of him that as a son with a father, so he hath served me in the gospel. Folks, Timothy was a servant, and he had that servant's heart. Paul says, this is the one man that I can trust. This is the one man that I can send to you, Philippians, who is going to care for you, who is going to serve you, who's going to do for you what he's done for me. You see, in order to be a leader in the body of Christ, we must first develop a deep desire to serve others. Secondly, let's talk about some personal qualities that servant leaders need. Now, the reason I'm stressing these qualities, folks, is because these are the things that make us appealing to other individuals. These are the things that cause us to be in the forefront as what we refer to as servants. The first one is humility. Humility is simply a willingness to stoop down, a willingness to bow down. We live in a world today where we don't find very many humble people, do we? We live in a world today that is filled with pride, that is filled with arrogance, that is filled with egotism, that individuals want to promote self more than they want to serve others. An individual who is a servant could care less about all of that. He's willing to stoop down and bow down before other individuals. Go back to Philippians 2, 6 and 7, and listen what the text says. Paul writes and says, let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who, being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation, and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in likeness of man. And being found in the likeness of man, he humbled himself. Folks, there's numerous thoughts in that passage that talk about Jesus' humility. He thought it not robbery to be equal with God. That's kind of a weird statement, isn't it? Some translations render it like this. He thought it not something to be grasped. In other words, he was at one time on an equal plane with God the Father. He was nothing but spirit. And yet, he didn't think that was something to be grasped. He didn't think that was something to be held on to. He was willing to let go of part of that nature of deity in order to come to this earth and serve humanity. Notice secondly, he made himself of no reputation. Now, I realize that when we hear those words, you and I don't think that, do we? When you and I hear the name of Jesus Christ, we honor him and we exalt him and we hold him up as a King of kings and Lord of lords. But folks, most individuals in the world in which Jesus lived and in our world today do not care for the precious name of Jesus. They hold him with a man of little reputation. They despise him, they hate him, they ridicule him, and they fight against him all they possibly can. Jesus made himself of no reputation. Notice it says this, he took upon him the form of a servant. Folks, that was his desire. That's what he was commissioned to do, to come here and serve. And lastly, the text says, he humbled himself. You see, being a servant leader is all about humility. Notice this second one, lowliness of mind. Folks, an individual who is low in mind has a mindset of being willing to be lower than another person. Wow. That's not always easy to do, is it? You see, I think I'm important. I think my ideas are important. I think I'm the big shot. I think I'm the know-it-all. I think I'm the authority. Folks, sometime we just need to play second fiddle, don't we? And sometimes we have to just step back and let somebody else shine. And let their ideas and let their talents be used to the glory of God. And we're willing as servant leaders to do that. I don't have to have a name for myself. It's not about me. It's really about what? It's about other individuals being served by me. The Apostle Paul writes in Philippians 2, verse 3, "Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but with lowliness of mind let each esteem other better than themselves." We turn to the book of Romans, chapter 12 and verse 16, and Paul says this. He says that every one of us needs to have the same care one for another. Then he says this, "Mind not high things. Condescend to men of low estate. Be not wise in thine own conceits." Folks, it's not about lifting up Victorescu. We ought to be able to live and go through this world, die, be buried, and nobody know us. That would be perfectly fine for a true servant leader. Did you know that? Thirdly, a servant leader is a man who has compassion for other individuals. That little word compassion is two words put together in the Greek language. Com stands for with. Passion means to suffer. You put the two words together and it simply means this, to suffer with. An individual who is compassionate sees the affliction, sees the trouble, sees the struggles, sees the cries, the sorrow of others, and suffers with that other individual. Folks, it's this particular quality that is what drives an individual to serve someone else. Was Jesus a man of compassion? Absolutely. We find here in Mark the first chapter, verse 41, where Jesus' compassion is exhibited toward an individual. This man is a leper. Here's a man who is dying on both the outside and the inside. His flesh is afflicted with boils. He has been humiliated and cast out of society. There is sorrow and there is crying and there is hurt every day of this man's life. And he cries out to Jesus to be healed. And the Bible says this, "And Jesus, having compassion on him, reached forth his hand and touched him and said, I will, be thou clean." Folks, Jesus sees this individual who is on the very verge of death. And what does he do? He's willing to serve him. Why? Because of a heart of compassion. Does Jesus teach us that same lesson in the Good Samaritan? Absolutely. Here's a man who has been robbed, he's been beaten, he's been left half dead on the road. Two religious people walk by, don't they? They see that poor man in that horrible condition, and what does the Bible say? They passed by on the other side, but a certain Samaritan, when he came where he was, he saw him, now listen to this, and had compassion and went to him. Wow, there's the difference between the priest and the Levite and the Good Samaritan. One word, compassion. When he saw that man, he hurt for that man. When he saw that man, he cried for that man. When he saw that man, he said, I must do something. I cannot leave him here on the side of the road. I must serve him. And he did, didn't he? Took care of him that day, stayed with him through the night, and provided for his needs further into the future. Folks, that's a servant leader, isn't it? The final quality is this, a willingness to labor for others. You heard the word right, folks. Labor for others. You know, sometimes we're willing to do things for other people as long as it's easy. Isn't that right? As long as it fits in my schedule. As long as it doesn't cause me to have to get out of my routine and get out of my comfort zone. Oh yes, I'm the biggest help that you could possibly imagine. But the very minute that it means some inconvenience to me, the very minute that it means that I'm going to have to do a little work and put forth a little toil and labor on behalf of another, sometimes I'd rather not. In fact, it's at that point that brother somebody else becomes vitally important, doesn't it? You see, somebody else will do it. Oh no, that's not the servant leader. Folks, we're willing to labor on behalf of other individuals. Didn't Jesus do that when he washed the disciples' feet? Folks, in John the 13th chapter, nobody was willing to get up and wash those dirty feet. And the Bible says when supper had ended, Jesus took off his robe and laid it aside and girded him about with a towel, took a basin of water and went about washing those disciples' feet, a labor of love. It should have been what they had done for our Lord, hadn't it? And yet Jesus did it to all 12 men that evening. Two of them that he knew were going to betray him. Two of them that he knew were going to be outright betrayers and traitors. And he also knew that all of them would be scattered and forsake him. And yet he washed their feet. What does the Bible say? The Bible says in Philippians 2 verse 8, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Question, do you think that the death of Jesus was an easy thing for him to go through? Folks, the very night that he entered into the Garden of Gethsemane, what does he say? My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. That was only at the very beginning of those passion hours. And absolutely no affliction had come upon his body, but there was that mental stress through which he was going. He knew all that was going to come upon him. And for the next numerous hours, he was going to suffer and suffer severely. Why? For himself? No. For the sins of all mankind. He served every one of us in this audience, in fact, all within the world, on that one night. A servant leader, humble, lowliness of mind, an individual who is willing to labor for others, and he is driven by compassion for those for whom he works. Let's talk very briefly about this, what servant leadership is not. We could spend a lot of time on this. But I've already mentioned four things or a couple of things that servant leadership is not. Number one, it's not about position, folks. You see, that's why some lead, isn't it? They love to walk around telling everybody, oh, I'm an elder of the body of Christ. So? Well, I'm a CEO of so-and-so corporation. So? Does that make you a big shot? Folks, it's not about position. Notice secondly, you see, some individuals want to be leaders because they know the minute I get to be a leader, I've got authority. I've got the ability now to make decisions that I didn't have before. And I'll lead those people the way they need to be led because they don't know how to lead themselves. You see, they love the power that's there, the authority of that particular position. Notice next. It's not about fear, folks. You see, some people love to be in a position to strike fear and terror into the hearts of another person, don't they? I'm going to lead you, but I'm going to do it by fear. You're going to do what I say, or else there will be consequences. Folks, that's not servant leadership. Now, when I mention servant leadership, some people might say this, well, you know, Vic, if you lead as a servant leader, that's leading by weakness. I'm not talking about weakness. Now, I've got an assignment for you, and you've got to complete it and come back tonight. That's part of the assignment. Okay, so you've got to do the assignment, then come back tonight. If you don't, you fail. Okay? But what I want you to do is I want you to go home tonight and I want you to read about Paul's voyage to Rome in Acts the 27th chapter. Because my friends, in that chapter, the Apostle Paul manifests servant leadership. All the things that I just mentioned to you, Paul has none of those. Folks, on this particular voyage, the Apostle Paul does not have any position whatsoever. Well, he did have a position, but it was the position of a prisoner on a ship, wasn't it? Here he was, had been arrested, and now he's making a voyage to Rome. Why? Because he's incarcerated, and he's going to stand before Caesar. He's a prisoner. There's no position in that, is it? Folks, you see, it's not about position. Listen to me. It's about influence. Notice secondly, Paul had no authority on that ship whatsoever. Did you know that? He was placed in the custody of a centurion, a Roman soldier in charge of 100 men who would be on board that ship, and they would be carrying out the rules and the authority and the instructions of that one centurion. And whatever that one centurion said was the will of the ship, folks, especially when it came to the prisoners like Paul on that ship. Paul didn't have authority. But you see, it's not about authority, is it? It's about the ability to reason. It's about the ability to bring other individuals to an understanding. It's about the ability of an individual to speak to other individuals in such a way that they come around to his point of view. That's what servant leadership is about. We find also that it's not about fear. Paul couldn't strike terror into the hearts of anybody on that ship. Folks, they were already in terror in Acts chapter 27. A storm was raging about them, and they all thought that they were going to die. The Apostle Paul didn't have any ability to strike terror into their hearts. You see, it's not about fear. It's about leading, isn't it? And here's what I find interesting. It's not about weakness, because you see, Paul on this particular occasion steps up. And because of who he is, and because of his abilities, as a servant leader, he is able to save the entirety of that ship. And it came to pass that they escaped, all of them alive. Acts 27, verse 44. Folks, every bit of that salvation was due to the leadership abilities of the Apostle Paul. Not because he was appointed to be the one in charge, but because on that particular occasion, he became a servant leader on that ship. He became a man that stood out to other people. That's the kind of leadership that we need in the body of Christ. Very quickly, I want us to talk about 10 skills that a servant leader must possess to be effective in the body of Christ. Point number one, folks, there must be self-awareness. In Hosea 1:5, God speaks to the nation of Israel, and here's what he says. Consider thy ways. You see, a servant leader begins where? He doesn't begin with others. He begins with self. He does an introspection of himself. Am I right with God? Am I living the way God demands me to live? He looks into the light of the gospel of Jesus Christ. He looks into that mirror and he sees whether he's doing what God wants him to do or not. Because until I am right with God, folks, I cannot properly influence others, can I? So first, there has to be self-awareness. Notice secondly, there has to be some foresight that a servant leader possesses. When I talk about foresight, I'm talking about being able, yes, to see into the future. But also being able to look right now and see what's going on right now. And if we continue on this particular path, what will be the end of where we are? A servant leader is able to see that if I make this particular decision, this is going to affect this person and that person. It's going to do this or that to the body of Christ. The Apostle Paul says, see then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise folks. That little word circumspectly means literally very, very strictly. But it also means to be able to look about and around you and see everything that there is to see as you walk through life. Thirdly, a servant leader has to be able to conceptualize. What do I mean by that? That's a big word, isn't it? Folks, a servant leader has to be able to dream big dreams. One of the things that a good leader in the body of Christ ought to do is go to his desk with nothing around him, just a piece of paper and a pen, and just dream. This is what I want for the body of Christ. This is what I want for the Oceanside Church of Christ. And just write down those dreams on a piece of paper. Let me ask you something. Did Nehemiah have a dream? Sure he did. And at the time that he envisioned this particular dream, guess where he was? He was a servant. He was a cupbearer to the king in Persia. He then had to go to the nation of Israel and he had to talk to them. What was his dream? He said this, I want to rebuild the walls of the city of Jerusalem. Nehemiah 2, verse 17. Did Jesus dream big dreams? Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And folks, what's amazing about that is this. There are literally thousands upon thousands being born every day, isn't there? Did Jesus know that? Sure he knew that. A big dream. Take the gospel everywhere. Not little bitty dreams. Dream the hard. Dream the difficult. Dream the dreams that really need to be dreamed. And then, folks, once they've been dreamed, you have to have the power of persuasion, don't you? God told the nation of Israel, come, let us reason together, saith the Lord. Isaiah 1, verse 18. You see, I've got to be able to reason. I've got to be able to understand. I've got to be able to cast my vision before other people so that they too catch the dream, don't they? And that involves, fifthly, good communication skills, folks. When I talk about communication, I'm talking about the ability to speak and the ability to listen. The Bible says in Luke 4:22 that Jesus spoke gracious words, words filled with grace to his audience. You see, our words need to be seasoned with salt, the Bible says. And you and I need to be able to stop, and you and I need to be able to close our mouths sometime and just listen to what other individuals have to say. Get a vision. Cast it before others. Be able to cast that vision, form that vision well, but then listen to what other people have to say about that vision. Folks, that also includes this, resources, doesn't it? In John 16 and verse 7, Jesus had been talking to his disciples and he told them this, I'm going away. I'm leaving this earth. I'm going away. Can you imagine how those 12 men must have felt? We've been with our Lord for the last 3.5 years. Now you're going somewhere. Where are you going, Lord? What I find interesting, though, is this. He tells them that when I go, I will send you another comforter. That's what he told them. Another comforter. I'm not going to leave you comfortless, he says. Guys, listen to me. When we give a vision to the congregation, when we dream a dream and communicate that dream to the church, guess what the church needs? The church must have the resources and the support in order to carry out the dream. This is huge. It's going to be hard. It's going to take work and toil and effort. But guess what? We're going to give you everything you could possibly need in order to make it successful. That's what servant leadership is about. Notice next, there has to be empathy. Folks, empathy very simply is this, understanding other perspectives. In Acts the 6th chapter, a big problem rose in the early church, didn't it? The Grecian widows were being neglected in the daily ministration, or at least that was the accusation, wasn't it? Now, those Hebrew apostles could have easily just said this, those are just those old Grecians, they're always complaining. They always think they're getting shortchanged. Folks, that's not the position of those apostles. Those men immediately went to work in order to solve the problem. You feel you're being neglected? You feel like things aren't going the way they need to go? Well, let's do something about it. Look out from among you, seven men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. Folks, they felt for those individuals. They understood the position of those individuals and came to their aid. That's servant leadership. Notice the next one. Growth of followers. What did Jesus tell His disciples in Matthew 4:19? Be ye followers of Me, and I will make you fishers of men. Folks, a servant leader is one who can develop the abilities and the talents of others. This question came to me as I was thinking about this point. Were those 12 men perfect men? Oh, we have deep respect for them, don't we, today? Peter, James, John, James the son of Alphaeus, Matthew. Oh, boy, we hold them in high esteem, do we not? Guys, let me tell you something. When Jesus got those men, they were rough and tough. You know that? Just old fishermen. You ever met a fisherman? Go into the movie Jaws and watch that old boy on that thing. That old dude's rough, man. Isn't he? Those are the kind of guys we're talking about. And Jesus took those men and He says, hey, come follow Me and I will make you fishers of men. A man like Peter. A man who was impetuous. An individual who would ultimately deny Him 3 times, and yet Jesus says, yes, I'm going to make you a fisherman. A true fisherman. And He did, didn't He? Folks, there are no perfect people. But there are a lot of people with a lot of talents and a lot of abilities. And if somebody will just take those individuals, nurture them, develop them, bear with them through their weaknesses and through their struggles, guess what? They can become wonderful people. That's what servant leadership is all about. It's not just reject somebody because they make a mistake. Oh, look at him. That's not what Jesus did with those 12. And I thank God for that. You know that? How about this one? It's about building family, folks. That's what servant leaders do. In 1 Thessalonians 3:12, Paul prayed for the church at Thessalonica that they would abound in their love one toward another. That's what it's all about. Servant leaders try to develop love and care and closeness within congregations of the Lord's people. Now guess what? We have to be willing to participate in that, don't we? We have to be willing to be individuals who want to be part of a group. As long as you segregate yourself, as long as you always are looking for problems and difficulties, as long as you're constantly criticizing and looking for all the negatives, folks, it's there. But guess what? It's right there in every one of our households too. But we what? We love, don't we? And we care. And we're close to one another. At least I hope we are. And that's what the church ought to be all about. Lastly, there's stewardship among leaders. Now, when I talk about stewardship, usually what I'm talking about is this: being entrusted with the care of something that doesn't belong to you. And leaders do that, don't they? Folks, elders are shepherds of whose flock? The Lord's flock. He's the chief shepherd. He just put these shepherds over the flock in order to take care of them for a period of time. But what I'm talking about when I talk about stewardship is this. A steward is one who takes responsibility. Folks, if you're a true leader, guess what? The buck stops here. There is no blaming. There is no justifying. There is no rationalizing. This is what I decided. This is what we decided. And guess what? I've got to take the blame if there is blame to be had. That's what true leadership is about. Servant leadership. Wow. Jesus was the absolute servant leader, folks. Watch this. He was the Son of God, but He was a servant, wasn't He? He was the Lord, but He was a servant. He was the King of Kings, but He was a servant. He was the High Priest, but He's a servant. He's a rabbi, a master teacher, but He was still what? He was still a servant. That's what we're talking about. being in high positions and still being able to what? Serve others. That's what we're talking about. Folks, we need servant leaders in the body of Christ today. Individuals with a burning desire to serve. I probably should have put that word on that overhead, shouldn't I? A burning desire to serve. I've got to serve others. It's a have to. Secondly, individuals who truly care about those that they serve. Not there just to get something out of it, but because I care about those that are entrusted to me. Individuals who manifest Christ as they lead. There's a youth song that's sung. We don't sing it a whole lot anymore. At least I haven't heard it sung for a while. Beautiful song, and it says this: Lord, make me a servant. Make me like you, for you are a servant. Lord, make me one too. It's a beautiful thought, is it not? You see, leadership is not about power, prestige, and position. Folks, it's simply about being willing to serve others. See, when Jesus calls us out of the world, He calls us what? He calls us to serve, doesn't He? That's what He calls us to do. Where are you today, my friend? We need you in the body of Christ. Won't you obey the gospel? The steps are simple, aren't they? Hear the truth. Believe in the Christ. Repent of sins. Confess His beautiful name. And be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins. Jesus said, He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. Dear Christian, as you look at your life, as you evaluate your life, can you honestly say that I'm here to serve? That's what I'm all about. I'm not that important. I'm not that big of a deal. I'm just here to serve. I'm here to be like my Lord was here to be. You need to confess your sins, ask God to forgive you. Won't you come as together we stand and sing.
Almost persuaded.